Good morning. Welcome to Eagles Way Church. Today is Mother's Day. Some of you are experiencing motherhood for the first time. Some of you may be grandmothers. Some of us are great-grandmothers. And maybe, is there anyone here that's a great-great-grandmother? The one thing that we all have in common is that we all have moms. And regardless of what kind of job your mother did, the one thing we do know, she did the best that she knew how to do. And if she had known to do better, she would have. It's all about relationships. The other thing that we all have in common is that we are part of the Trinity. God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the human race. We were created in His image. And they're in relationship. We're in relationship with all three. And women do relationships very well. How many of you have been in a relationship for more than a year? Raise your hand. How many for more than 5 years? How many more than 20 years? More than 60 years. More than 70 years. What happened, Billy? Susan? I have been in relationship with my sister for almost 75 years. So if you have a sibling, that is the longest relationship you will ever have. And women are one of God's most exciting extension of Him. We not only love and know how to love unconditionally, which is very simplistic. Ask any husband, that's what he wanted from his wife, is to be loved unconditionally. But we're very complex. We bring mystery. We bring excitement. We bring fun. We carry things, not only with our arms, but with our hearts. So today, we're going to celebrate women and enjoy just being who you are.
We receive Forgiveness is bottling the pressure. before the crowd, tell the world of the treasure you found.
Thank you, Father, for your presence. How good it is to just be here, surrounded by love, surrounded by grace. Words truly, truly can't even come close to describing your power and your love. So we just stand here. We offer you everything that we have, which is all of us, all of who we are, every note that is played, every word that we cry out and sing to you today, Father, is the offering that we have to bring to you. We honor you. We stand in your presence and we honor each other this morning. Thank you for your constant outpour of your love and your grace and your tenderness. You're so good.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare for our living hope. Your presence, Lord, I've tasted and seen. Thank you.
Almighty God anywhere. Last week, I traveled out of the country to El Salvador. If you don't know, I work for Delta. We work on airplanes there. They wanted me to go down. I was a nervous wreck because I found out we had security and, you know, all this stuff. And I was flat out scared. In my brain, I thought that I was going to Afghanistan. I thought I was going to a war zone, you know. Lindsay will tell you, I was nervous. I called my dad. I was like, Dad, pray for me, please, you know. But that morning, last Sunday morning, I woke up and was traveling. It was a beautiful Sunday morning. And I was listening to gospel in the morning on 92.5 The Bear. I hear them talk about it all week. I was like, oh, this is my chance. I'll listen to it. Alan Jackson came on, and it was a song. It goes, I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. And it came on right when I passed my old church, Crestview Baptist Church. And I tell you this a lot, but I felt the presence of my grandfather and my grandmother and my granny. And it was God giving me peace to know it was okay. Don't be scared. I love to tell the story. I got down there and I saw these Christian groups going to share. I'd never been out of the country, first off. This is my first time. And I saw all these people going to share his love. And I'm just thankful that I serve a God like that, that when I need it, he brought it to me right then. He said, let it go, Brandon. It's going to be okay. And I just thought I would share that with you because I just think moments like that when I say the presence of God is anywhere when I started this. He's in your car, driving to work. He's wherever you want him to be. You just have to acknowledge that he's there.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone. Well, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Well, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Love has
I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear, 'cause I am a child of God.
Amen.
How about, hey, let's give it up for a 15-year-old acoustic guitar player and a 14-year-old drummer this morning, Liam Thurston. I'm telling you, just raise them up right here and put them on the stage and let them play. God's good, isn't he? All the time. I'm going to ask Eric and Katie and their grandparents to come. We're going to dedicate Jane Elise this morning. Do one of my favorite things I love to do on Mother's Day, especially Mother's Day, is consecrate and dedicate children. Amen? I was thinking this morning and how in 42 years of pastoring, I've never, ever seen parents so smitten with their children. Never. Daddies, mamas, granddaddies and grandmamas just totally smitten. Now you know what it's like, don't you, Julie? You've heard. But you know it's like the Queen of Sheba. She said, only the half was told me. When it really gets it, you think about it, you think it's going to be one way, but when they get here, it's total different. Scenario, different situation. Nothing like being a parent, nothing like being a grandparent. And you know I love this passage of scripture. I'll read it forever. I can never escape from your spirit. And Jane, this is what God is saying to you. I can never get away from your presence. If I go into heaven, you're there. If I go to the grave, you're there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there, your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light, they're the same to you. You made all my delicate inner parts of my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of the sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. All right. And your name, Jane, means gift from God. And Elise means consecrated to God. And I was thinking this morning when I got up, I put this tie on. I've had this tie for over 20 years. And when I bought this tie, it's a company that they only make one of a kind. There's no tie like this in the whole wide world. And there's no one like you in the whole wide world. God knew you before you were conceived, and we consecrate you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and the heritage that you got goes all the way back to God who gave you to us now. But it goes from all these grandparents and great-grandparents, and your granddaddy saw you before you saw her. And so you've got all this going for you. You can't help but be a wonderful person and succeed. You are a godly thing, you. Love you dearly. God bless you. Wow. Love it, love it, love it. I love new things. I guess that's why I love babies so much. They're new and been here long. Well, I guess I've reached the stage in my life that I'm never going to preach another Mother's Day. I hadn't preached a Mother's Day in several years now, but my lovely daughter has. And so what I want to do is introduce you this morning to one of my favorite mothers on the planet. Would you welcome Dusty Tackle?
Well, happy Mother's Day. I first want to say to some of you who I understand that Mother's Day isn't always a joyful day for those who may have experienced loss, or maybe it's your first Mother's Day without your mom, or whatever it is. And I just want to say that I love you, and you do whatever you need to do on this day that brings you comfort. I know my mom's mom transitioned to heaven when she was 18. And a lot of times on this day, we celebrate and she's able to enjoy the fact she's got me. She has three grandkids. But a lot of times we go to the cemetery, even though we know that her mom's not there, but it's just a place of to remember and to reflect and to honor. So that's what she does. But mom didn't have her mom to call every single day the way I call her almost every single day. No one can compete with Nan. Nobody can compete with Nan. I have this funny thing that one time we were in the car. I was in the car with the kids, and I said, "Who's got the best mom?" Thinking I was going to hear, "We do." John Henry says, "You do." And so that's kind of we make a joke out of it. And I say it all the time, not all the time, because every once in a while I have to encourage myself up in the Lord. But I will say, "Who's got the best mom?" And John Henry, without fail, will say, "You do." And of course, mom had me when she was 19. So she was practically a child herself doing it. And I felt like she did a pretty good job. And we were on the deck last night. And I said, "You know, had I started at 19, my kids would already be out of the house." And Chris said, "I tried to date you when you were 15, but you 5 minutes. And we could be on a boat somewhere right now. But no, we're here. But here I am, 43, still going to muffins with mom." And which is fun and it's sweet. This last muffins with mom we went to, Jet said, "My favorite thing to do is nap." And I wanted to say, "Well, brother, if you think it's my favorite thing to do, then why don't you let me nap?" But I thought, you know, it's better than what Anna said at that age on her little muffins with mom paper. She says, "What is your mom's favorite thing to do?" And she said, "Ditch the kids." Swear. Real life, true story. And I kind of said, "Well, you're not totally wrong." But it's being a mom is my favorite thing I do. You know what it's like to be a mom, how oftentimes we sacrifice something we want for something our children want. I said in the car the other day, and I said, "When you guys leave the house, I'm going to have so much money." And Anna said, "John and I are not the reason you don't have money. It's that little guy in the back seat who's always saying, 'Oh, Jet, you need this Lego set. You're so good at building Legos. We don't care how much you got. Y'all look at him build the Legos.'" And I thought, you're not wrong again. And so, and all those who have that third kid, Jen, Kitty, you know what happens with a third kid. And so we love them all the same, but somehow just different. And but motherhood is special. We feel all the feels. We oversee the schedules of every living, breathing thing in our house. The dog, the children. Chris, he never knows when he has a haircut. I know when he has a haircut. But we kind of keep the world spinning. And Chris will tell you, if there is one person you want happy in our home, it is me. Because he's learned, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. One of my last story I'll tell, then we'll get into a message. This is one of my favorite stories. And I think I've probably told it before, but I've reached that part in ministry where I'm like, Dad, and I tell the same stories over and over again, and maybe you'll laugh again. So, but we called it, and maybe some of you have heard it, we call it the tripod story. Jason, you know the story. I think you've used this in your own family. It is something that we have passed down to those that we are in relationship with, and they use it. It's called the tripod story. So John Henry was in seventh grade, and Chris had been on a trip flying, and I went down into his room. You know, mom has had these, we had these knowers. We feel when something's off, because we know. And so I went to his room, and I said, John, I said, asked him a few questions, wanted him to share his heart with me and talk to me. And the boy wasn't giving up no information. Nairn. Nothing. I was so mad. I'm just mad. I go upstairs. Chris gets home that night. Gosh, you got in about 11 o'clock. He'd been flying. You know he's tired. He wants to go home and come to bed. Mm-mm. We're going to talk about your son not talking to his mama. And so I kept him up for a good hour, and we talking about his son not talking to his mama. So the next morning, Chris takes the kids to school, and he says, John Henry, when your mom asked you something last night and you didn't answer her, why didn't you answer her? Oh, no, Dad. You know, nobody knows when you're a teenager. They don't know. Why did you do this? I don't know. You don't know. I don't know, Dad. And he says, John Henry, he says, the next time your mom asks you something, he said, I don't care what you tell her, but you're going to tell her something. He said, son, let me tell you a story. He said, when your mom asks you a question and you don't tell her something, what do you think that does to her? He said, it makes her mad. He says, it makes her mad. It upsets your mom. He said, when your mom is upset and she's mad, what do you think that does to my world? He said, Dad, I guess it makes you mad too. He said, when I get mad and my world's messed with, what do you think's going to happen to your world? He's like, I get it, Dad. And Chris said, John, we're a tripod. It is me, your mama, and you. And when one leg goes out, we're all going down. The next time your mom asks you something, you tell her. But we have this feeler, this knower, and we use this knower. We started this year with a series called Recovering Our Godness. And what that was basically telling us, not basically, can make it sound like no big deal, telling us who we are, where we come from. And then, you know, you have Jesus. We're talking about the Trinity. You were talking about how they're all so important. Three in one, mystery, still hard to fully understand. But Jesus kind of tells me an example of how I engage in relationships, how I do life. It's that greatest commandment to love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. But then there's the Holy Spirit. And that is really where I want to land today. And I want to talk about this Holy Spirit within you, that you have everything you need within you to raise Jane right, to raise no matter what stage of a motherhood that you are in. Because you know what? You don't ever retire from being a mama. Jen, have you retired? No, you have not retired from being a mom. Whatever stage you are in, and this is not just for moms. This is for women. This is for you too, men, but it's not Mother's Day. So you can apply this to your life, but this is for all women. We have this special, special knower. And what I want to do is I want to look at kind of an odd passage of scripture for Mother's Day, but you're going to see why it applies to you. And why you can activate. You see, it's the Spirit within us that activates not only who we are in Christ, but it activates everything in our lives. It's our activator. It is our stirrer. And so we're going to take these three verses in 2 Timothy chapter 1, going to start with verse 5. And Paul's writing to Timothy. Timothy was really his spiritual son. And he's just encouraging him in his gifts and calling. And he says, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. Notice he didn't say grandfather or father. You see, it is strong women through scripture. It was Big Mama who prayed Dad into the kingdom. It's strong women. Men too, but this is Mother's Day. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. And he said, this is why I remind you to fan into the flames a spiritual gift that God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline, or a sound mind, as some translations say. So the first thing that Paul says to Timothy is remember who you are. Remember where you came from. You come from a long line of strong women, of strong faith. Look back at the faith that's been passed down to you and draw from that. One of the things that this series of Ancient Paths has done for me is caused me to reflect back in really my spiritual journey. And that sometimes I look back on things that we did in the church 20, 25 years ago, and I'm like, I don't think I want to do that again. But do you know what? I have grown to appreciate that because God was just as much present in that moment, in that space, as God is present in this space. And my prayer for you today is that you were able to look back. Maybe you didn't have them. There's no doubt I had a model mother, model childhood growing up. It's easy for me to draw from what was modeled to me. But you, in the same way, are able to draw from the strength of people and women, not only in this room, but you can draw from those who have gone before you. You can draw from that strength. Do you know, if you're one of those people to say, man, this was a model to me, I feel alone in this. You know, I've positioned myself in the body of Christ to maybe start this new line of spiritual lineage. But do you know your spiritual lineage goes all the way back to Mary, the mother of Jesus? You can draw. You are not alone. You are just as much can draw from the strength of those who have gone before you as I can draw from strength. I went back and I looked at Mary, and there are some wonderful things and hilarious things that I saw when I was looking at Mary. One of the awesome things that we can draw from Mary is that she had this unwavering trust in God, that even when she didn't understand, she had read Proverbs enough to know that trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and she would strengthen that by continuing to position in herself to praise God. That's where her strength came from. She always rejoiced in all circumstances. So we can draw from that. We can draw from the fact that she didn't do it alone. She linked herself to Elizabeth, who was the mother of John. She linked herself to other people to help keep her strong. We have to, whether you're a mom, dad, woman, whatever you are, whatever your position in life is, we have to link ourselves to people and draw from their strength. Let me tell you, I don't always get this parenting thing right. As a matter of fact, 2 weeks ago, the kids had field day. It was a half day. And I thought, it's going to be a sunshiny, glorious day. I am fixing my thoughts on you, Jesus. I'm going to pick the kids up from school. And I'm just thinking, you ever have this magical thing of what this time with your children's going to be like? Chris was working on the farm. And I thought, we're going to go get lunch. How often do you get to have lunch on a Friday? Because you're usually at school, and we're going to do this thing, and it's going to be glorious, and I'm so excited to be able to be with you, and to love you, and to embrace you, and to tell you how wonderful you are. And then they get in the car, and I promise, I'm not even out, and I said, hey, we're going to go to El Toro, we're going to get lunch, and it's going to be a really great day. Didn't say it just like that, but kind of like that, and I was like, oh my God, I'm so dirty, I can't even go do this, and then Jet starts complaining. The next thing I know, Anna and Jet are fighting like they're both 5 years old in the back seat of the car. And John Henry's like this. He's like just doing this in the front seat. And it's just, it's going and going and going. And every once in a while, there's a little trigger in mom. Not only we have a knower, we got trigger. I pulled that car over. So fast. So fast. Let me tell you what happens when a mama pulls a car over. It is not this, hey, I am going to align myself with the Spirit, and the words that come out of my mouth are going to be from you, Lord. I am anointed to pull this car over and to preach to these children and to share your love and to enlighten. No, it is an outer body experience. It's like you're here at the car talking, but really you're way on the other side of the road watching yourself do this, and you can't stop it. Once it starts, you can't stop, and you don't know what you look like, but you know you must not look the same, because the fear coming from your children's eyes, they don't say anything. They're just like, and you get back in the car and you're thinking, I want to take you home and drop you off, but I live in South Georgia and there is no way I'm going all the way there. I'm hungry and I want chips and salsa, and I'm still going to do this. And so anyway, and all I could hear was Big Mama saying in my head, don't yell at your kids. You'll just make them mad. And I want to say, Big Mama, you had two, you didn't have three, but Big Mama may have made them mad, but they're quiet. You hear that? I don't hear that. And so We go to lunch and we get home, and I am really, you can ask Chris, it was a rough weekend all around. We had a lot to work through. And like, I couldn't have preached last Sunday because I needed communion, like we took it. And anyway, so I text Jennifer because I've linked myself to other women, and I texted her, and all I said was this. I said, Jennifer, you ever walked into a restaurant with your kids and you had the thought, I'm going to get two booths. So I'm going to get one for them, and I'm going to get one for me. I said, I'm asking for a friend. Just kind of want to know if you've ever felt that. And you know what Jennifer did? First, man, she felt the pain with me. She's like, girl. But then she said some things. She felt it with me. She needed to, because she didn't need to say, oh, that is not, you are not aligning with your spiritual being. And she knew, we don't need to hear that. We need to hear, girl, I feel you, I got it. But let me tell you, there is a spirit in you that is greater than this moment, and you are going to get through. See, we're not perfect, but Mary wasn't perfect either. She lost Jesus when he was 12 years old. She lost him. They went to the temple for the festival of the Passover and lost him. Have you ever lost a kid? Now, we lost Anna. We left her at church one time. We came back, and Chris was like, you got Anna? I'm like, I ain't got Anna. You got Anna? I got Anna. I'm like, but we went right back. Mary lost Jesus for 3 days. 3 days. We lost Jed for 10 minutes one time on the farm, found him at the chicken coop throwing eggs against the chicken coop, and our heart just sank. 3 days. And I started thinking, how you lose your kid for 3 days? How you do that? And I started thinking, she didn't lose him. He was 12 years old, just started middle school. And she thought, you know what? I'm going to take you to this temple, and I'm going to leave you there. And, you know, Joseph's probably saying, Mary, we should really go back. But instead, Mary's like, one more day. One more day in that temple. And so she goes back to the temple 3 days later, finds Jesus there. And I like how it said later on in that passage that Jesus grew in the favor of the Lord. He grew in stature, grew in the favor. I tell you how he grew in the favor, because Mary said, I'm leaving you for 3 days and you're going to do some growing. And then by the time they grow in that favor and the stature, they graduate high school and they leave you. Now they're perfect and they go. But we can draw. We can draw for Mary. And I got to hurry. The last thing I want to say we can draw for Mary, and then we're going to zoom through these next 2 points. I have so many mom stories, so it takes me a really long time. The last thing that we can draw from Mary is that no matter what you're going through with your children, whatever relationship you're in, we can draw from the fact that she, if anyone knows what it's like to watch your child hurt, if anyone knows what it's like to watch your kid go through something and you can't fix it, but all you got to do is just sit there through it, Mary knows. She watched her son be rejected, to be despised, to be spat on, to be nailed to a cross. All she had to do, all she could do was mourn with that broken heart. But there was this hope within her that told her, there's another day coming. There's another day coming, and we're going to get through this. We're going to get through this. Remember who you are and remember where you came from, that you've got a long line of strength of people to draw from. You have a lot of people in this room because you've positioned yourself in the body of Christ to draw from them. And then Paul says, this is why I remind you to fan into the flames the spiritual gift that God has given you. You see, Paul is talking to Timothy about his gift of preaching and teaching here. But I want to tell you women, you have a special gift of wisdom and discernment because of your sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. You do. We call it mother's intuition. And you can call it whatever you want, and how you can always trust that mother's intuition and that voice you hear inside you to always go with it. But let me tell you what that intuition is. It is your sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. There is nobody more sensitive than you. Men, you're sensitive too. This is Mother's Day. There's no one more sensitive than you. Dad said the other day, and I wrote it right away in my phone because I think it just needs to be printed off because it's so good. He said, most think women are weaker because they are more emotional, but they are actually stronger because they are more emotional. They feel more, and you have to be strong to feel everything they feel. You have to be strong to feel everything we feel. You see, and Dad, you're getting wiser in your old age. I love that. It's one when I print it off. It's good. I love that. I've often heard it said that the way we view our earthly father is how we view our heavenly father. Have you heard that? I want to submit to you that it is moms who best reflect the personality of the Holy Spirit. We best reflect the personality of the Holy Spirit. And John says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who will lead you into all truth. The Greek word there for advocate is paraclete. You know, it's the same Greek word that is used in Genesis when God tells Adam, it is not good for man to be alone. I will give you a paraclete to be with him. So really, moms and the Holy Spirit, we are real close. Really close. Yeah. Let me tell you, you talk about the Holy Spirit, and you talk about a mom, no one's going to intercede on your behalf like your mom will. No one's going to pray for you like a mom will. No one's going to go to bat for you like a mom will. Who's the one, when there's an incident at school, who's the one going? Mama. Who's the first person off the bleachers at a baseball game when somebody gets upset? Mama. I see you, Marissa. Mama. Who's the advocate who says, I ain't gonna tell you, Daddy, this time? Mama, you have an advocate with your mom. Let me tell you, you can trust that voice inside of you. You can trust that voice inside of you. And this is what I really want. If I can get anything across to you for this point, this is what it's going to be. This is what it is. There are a lot of people who will tell you how to do something. You need to do this for your kid. Or you need to do that for your kid. Or sometimes you may get, moms, dads, all of us, we get in the situation where we'll look at another family, we'll look at another parenting situation, and we'll start saying, I'm not doing that. Should I be doing that? And so suddenly, comparison, we already know it's the thief of joy. It will not only rob you of enjoying the moment with your children, but it will rob you of listening to the Holy Spirit for your kid, for your family, for your situation. I've often heard it said that children don't come with an instruction manual. I'm going to tell you, if your days have already been recorded in a book, there is a divine book that you can tap into, that you can tap into, and you can trust, you can trust, you can trust that you are not going to fail. You are not going to, and listen, when you do, I've had times in my parenting life and motherhood where I went against that first voice, that intuition. I went against it. And God is still a gracious, gracious God. God had told Sarah in scripture that he was going to give her Isaac. She knew it in her knower. She knew it. And then she got real, started where she just wasn't trusting. And she went, and you know the story. And she sent Hagar to lie with Abraham and had Ishmael. Do you know God didn't say, Sarah, you didn't trust me. I told you the Holy Spirit revealed this to you, and you know I was going to pull through and say, well, you screwed this up. You know what he did? He said, you know what? I'm going to take your weakness, and I'm going to bring strength out of it. He brings strength into our weakness, and he went in and says, I'm going to bless Ishmael. And I'm going to bless Isaac. I'm going to make a great nation out of Ishmael. I'm going to make a great nation out of Isaac. You see, you can't lose. That is the heart of a good, good father. You cannot lose. You are not going to mess this up. You are not going to mess this up. I've had to reframe some of my stuff, and even in parenting thinking, I even told Mom, I said, you didn't have to parent during a social media world. But you know what else I thought? She didn't get to parent in an Amazon Prime world. I mean, there are things, blessed Jesus, that has become easier. We can make this thing hard, or we can embrace the newness. See, we look back for our strength. I look back at Big Mama and Estelle and my mom, and I look back at Mary, and I draw strength from that, knowing that as God was with them, he will be with me. But I don't look back to propel forward. I look back for the strength to go forward, because what worked then, whenever I hear people say, well, it worked for me, it was good for me, and my, you know, when I was growing up, worked for me, it worked for me, it worked for me. And then they're trying to put this old wine into a new wineskin when you've got to have this new wine. And there's the whole thing, children should be seen and not heard, does not apply to me today. I learn more from my children many times than they learned from me. Be open. You know, Dad used to say to me when I was growing up, and he would say something to me, and I would say, I know. And he'd say, don't say I know. Stopped it at that. As far as I was concerned, that just meant I was being disrespectful. But now I have evolved in so much knowledge of, not so much knowledge, but I've evolved in so much and been open to new things that now when my children say, I know, I say, don't say I know. And now I'm able to say, it closes, shuts you off to something new. Do you see, parenting, it doesn't have to be, is it work? Yes. Does it have to be stressful? Sometimes. But it's, you have everything you need within you to do it. And sometimes you don't even know what to pray. You don't even know what to do. And you just sit there and be still and know that he is God. I visited with Mimi a couple of weeks ago, and I told her, I said, Mimi, I said, I can't even believe John Henry's going to be turning 16. And I don't know what I'm going to do. I guess I'm just going to be praying all the time. And she said, honey, and don't even pretend like you know what you're going to be praying. She says, you just pray in tongues and say, I give it to you, Lord. I give it to you, Lord. That's what she said. And some of my, you talk about drawing and gleaning from strength. Mimi, I still draw from your strength. And I drew from that day, that there are times I don't know what to pray, that I can't. I have no words, but I am able to say, God, I trust that the God in you is just as great as the God in me, and I'm going to give it to you. Something else Mimi told me but I went through a really, really hard time, is she said, Dusty, this is going to be a bump in the road. Not everything is a defining moment. We can make it a defining moment. We can make it a defining moment, but not everything is a defining moment. That day when I pulled that car over was not a defining moment in my parenting. It wasn't. It was a moment. That hard thing that your child's going through, or that you're going through, or your spouse is going through, whatever it is not a defining moment. It is a moment, and that is all it is. It is a moment. And the other thing Mimi told me one time, I was taking her to get her hair done a few years ago, and I said, Mimi, I said, I think Chris only listens to half of everything I say. She said, honey, if he is listening to half, you are doing good. You are doing good. Not only can you trust it inside of you, you can trust it inside of your children. There is no big God in you. I've said it many times. And little God in them, it is the same spirit. Psalms 139 says, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I cannot even count them. God is saying this to you. He's saying this to your children. He's saying this to your spouse. He's saying this to every single person that you're in relationship with. I can't even count how precious my thoughts are about you. And when I wake up, you are still with me. You cannot escape his presence. Brandon was saying it this morning, and neither can your children. Remember where you came from. Know that the spirit within you, that you can trust it. And you've got a sensitivity and a discernment that I guarantee you can lean on every single time. And then Paul says, for God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Katie, you can be coming. See, Paul was speaking to Timothy's internal state here. He was speaking to Timothy's internal state. He's saying, Timothy, I know that you can lean on the side of timidity and that you're shy and it's easy to get comfortable and not want to go forward. Timothy, I know that you have these doubts. And Paul knew how easy it is to succumb to fear, to hesitation, to doubt. Gosh, I succumb to indecision a lot. Something I've learned in meeting with the counselors from Miss Lynn is that most every issue in our lives is rooted in fear. Most everything is rooted in fear. Fear that you're not enough. Maybe it's a fear that, I didn't have Nan. I didn't have this. How can I? I feel alone. Maybe it's a fear that you're not heard. I've always heard it said that fear is the opposite of faith. And it's always bothered me because it made me feel like, well, if I'm fearing, then I don't have faith. That's not true. Fear is just faith in the wrong thing. Fear is just faith in the wrong thing. And I believe that it is so important that we discipline our minds we say it all the time here, to fix your thoughts on whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good report, and that we fix our eyes on Jesus, and that as our eyes, he who keeps his eyes on him, fixes their eyes on him, is kept in perfect peace. I believe that with all my heart. But sometimes we can just do that and spin out of whatever fear we're in or whatever issue is in that moment. But there are times, and this is what I want you to hear, there are times where we walk into this and through with this fear for so long that we attach it to ourselves. And now it's become a part of who we are. And God is saying, I didn't give that to you. I didn't give that to you. I gave you love. I gave you power within you to overcome anything. I gave you a sound mind that when those thoughts and fears come up, that you are able to take them captive and make them obedient to the truth. That's what I gave you. But let me tell you, when you've attached, see, sometimes we have negative emotions. Let's get real. And you can't positive think out of everything. I believe for the majority, we have to spin it and fix our thoughts. But sometimes we have to come to the table and identify and not deny and say, you know what, this is real. And the beautiful thing, the fears and the issues that we attach to ourselves, we can detach them. And you know what else is beautiful? What God gave us, that spirit of love and power and a sound mind, can never be detached. It is there. It is there. There is nothing you can do. There is no fear that is so great that it cannot be detached from you. There is nothing. Don't ever make your fear greater than the power of the Holy Spirit within you. There is nothing that you can't detach. And there is nothing that can detach what he has given to you. And let me tell you, when you're dealing with fears and when you're putting them out on the table, whether it's a disappointment, a fear, whatever it is not a setback. But when we put it on the table, it actually propels us forward. I'm going to be honest. Can I be honest with you? I told you that a weekend was the last weekend. It was a rough weekend. And I led praise and worship last Sunday, mad at my husband. You think that's bad? He got to sit there and try to engage in worship, watching his wife. He was mad at me. And every once in a while, like, I had Lynn on speed dial. I'm like, Lynn, you may have to come into this one. I don't know. But what we had done is that I started attaching things to myself. Every once in a while, I feel like I do pretty good and I'm able to spin out of it and fix my thoughts and gain a different perspective on it. But I was not gaining perspective. I'm telling you, I needed 48 hours in communion for us to be able to talk through this thing. But we did. And I realized I had attached a fear of not being valued. And you know, we were able to, the scripture says, confess your sins to one another that you may be healed. I'm not saying these issues are sins. It's just the best scripture I've got for it. But sometimes we got to confess this and identify it. And you put it on the table. You know what? Through Chris, healing came to me. And through me, God was able to heal Chris in that moment. We're able to heal. God is able to heal us when we put that on the table. David said, I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all of my fears. Remember who you are. Remember you come from a long line. As God was with them, God's with you. Know that you can trust the power of the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, when it scripture says, gave you love, sound mind, and gave you power, the scripture says that unto him he was able to do more than we can imagine or think according to the power that works within you, whatever it is. And that whatever fear you've attached to yourself, you can detach. You can detach and you can walk. That song says, whatever it says about walking in freedom, with song of freedom, and truly walk in that every single day. And as those, when you lay it on the table, when those fears or those issues creep back up again, you take them captive and you make it to obedient to the fact that God, I attached this. You didn't get this to me. And you detach it. Today's sacrament of healing. If you have a physical need in your body, then we want to lay hands on you and pray for you. and believe that the power that works within you, that I believe in healing. I believe in physical healing, physical miracles. I believe in divine intervention into soul healing. If it is a soul issue, if it is a fear that you're just saying, Dusty, I've got this fear and I want to detach this fear. I want to not deny it. I want to identify it and I want to detach it and walk in who I really am. I'm going to ask you, everyone stand. And if we can pray for healing in your body, or if we can just, if you just want to bring that issue, that fear to the table, and we can pray that, and we can say, it's gone, it's done, and you can leave and walk in freedom from that. We are all healed this morning. Father, I thank you for this house, this body of Christ. I thank you for every single woman in this house. Thank you for her strength. Thank you for her wisdom. Father, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit to walk in always knowing that you are with us and that we have all that we need within us to do every single thing you've called us to do. We love you and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Dad.
Amen. This morning we've given 16 of these stabs away that Jim Lewis makes for us. We started this a long time ago. We did a series and he happened to make one. I preached with it one day and just kind of become the anointed stick around here. But this one he brought in this morning says, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. Isaiah 66:13. I want to honor a lady this morning who has truly been a spiritual mother of this church. And that is Susan Woodward, who's not only been a spiritual mother, but she has been a mother to my wife, who hasn't had a mother since she was 18 here on this earth. But thank you. And you've not only been a mother to her, you've been a spiritual mother to this whole household. And there's nobody who has prayed for this house more than you have prayed for this house, and I know that. And there's nobody who's prayed for me more than you have prayed for me, and I know that. And thank you, thank you, thank you. We love you dearly. Amen. All right.
If you got your bulletin, then you have a lot of information you need to read. Inside of it was your connection card. We hope that you have already filled that out. If not, you will have time to do that as soon as we dismiss. But in the back of the auditorium is four boxes, one by each door. That's where you drop your connection card. And if you brought your offering this morning, you can drop it in there also. There's envelopes there if you need it. Many of you give online. We thank you for your faithfulness. Your faithfulness to the house of God is pretty awesome. I do want to let you know, and it wasn't in the bulletin, that next Sunday, right after the service, is going to be spaghetti lunch in the youth building. Okay? That youth that are planning to go to summer camp will be serving you lunch. There is no cost, but every donation that you give will be helping that child that is working that day to be able to go to camp. So plan on that. It'll be great. We'll be able to go up there and have salad and spaghetti and probably even a dessert. So let's pray. Let's bless our offering, and then we'll worship before we leave. Father, Lord, we thank you that we can come to your house. Lord, we can receive from you, Lord. We can now take and freely give. Lord, we give of our time and our talents and our treasures. I thank you, Father, Lord, that you will just bless, Father, Lord, the goings and the doings of each and every person. In Jesus' name.
Season is over. There is a cloud.
great anticipation. We await the promise to come. Everything that you have spoken will come to pass. Let